Good morning, and welcome back to the God School, where we call it the God School because the emphasis here is on God and what He has done. It says, God was in Christ, and we emphasize what Christ has done for us, and not on man, and on man's tradition, which Jesus says, by those traditions, we make void the Word of God. At the God School, I make every attempt to put God on display, and that through His Word, because it says, the Word, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is God revealing Himself to us. Am I repeating myself? You're damn right. Because the need for faith is constant. Thank God, He, knowing that none of us can be constantly or consistently living in faith because of our nature, that is our flesh, but the good news about faith is it can always be invigorated, reinvigorated, started again. And here we're teaching in this series out of the book of Galatians, out of that which I spoke of last week, that a friend said, oh, that was an oddball church. Paul says, when he opens this letter, unto the churches of Galatia, he puts plural. I need to back up a minute because maybe there's a new listener out there. This is the consistent pressure as a teacher. I don't know who all is listening out there. But this word, church, and I won't go into the entire etymology, this English word church speaks of the Lord's possession. Possession of the Lord's. The Lord's, apostrophe S. And though Paul wrote this letter unto that which is called the churches of Galatia, that is, the Lord's possessions in Galatia, I want to tell you that this letter is written to the Lord's, apostrophe S, the possession of the Lord's anywhere in the world in Paul's day, as well as anywhere in the world today. And unfortunately, I'm going to accept that accolade of my friend and say unto all you oddball churches, this letter is written not only like me, oddball, is not only written to me, but it's written to all of you also. It might be viewed as, the world might view it, oddball. It might be viewed as many churches, assemblies now, as oddball, but as Paul did through not only this epistle, but all of his others, we are presenting the truth. All evangelical Christianity, I don't want to limit the recognition of the truth to a particular branch of Christianity. All of Christianity understands that by grace, for faith, God's power, God's salvation comes to us. But most of the church, like these churches in Galatia, get off the track. And start to define this walk with God, this relationship with God, on another basis. Yes, by grace you are saved, through faith. But some came preaching another gospel, which Paul says is not a gospel, And they have perverted the truth and have, as I said, gotten off on the wrong track. Because, well, let's just read Paul. In the third chapter, he says, O foolish Galatians, he says, O foolish churches, he says, O you foolish possessions of God, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He's looking at Jesus. He's looking at God. He's looking at what God has done, and he says it is evident. There is no question Christ was crucified among you. Paul taught the wonderful work of God which we call salvation. And he said, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit that is the life of God in you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect? Are ye now brought to completion by the flesh? He has just said, knowing that a man is not justified, or better translated, righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, and faith comes by hearing, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for, and this explains that which came before, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be righteousified. Who, he says, has bewitched you? Who has put the evil eye on you? Who has perverted the gospel to you that ye should not obey? And that word obey comes to our English language from a Latin word, obedecere, and I have taught on this word before, but simply the meaning of it means to obey is to hearken diligently. Obedience is to run to the voice of the sayer, to hear the word of God and not the traditions of men, which make void the word of God, which pervert the word of God, which is not another gospel. Those who put an evil eye on you, that you might get your eye on something other than what God has declared. And forever, O Lord, the 119th Psalm says, thy word is settled in heaven. He goes on to even speak about ministers and how they came to be ministers, not that they were perfect, where he says, he that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles, that's kind of, well, let's say what it does say rather than what King James here says. He that energizes power in you, that is the power of God unto salvation, doeth he by the works of the law? Is he perfected in the flesh, the one that's ministering to you, or by the hearing of faith? I tell you, this teacher is not perfect in the flesh, and the same way God is saving you through faith, he's saving me through faith. He gives an example in the sixth verse. Even as Abraham, King James says, believed, we would choose a more proper verb, which is a word that we really don't have in English, but that is a better translation. Even we have faith, even Abraham faithed God. Even Abraham trusted. And it's a verb, folks. It's not just an assent to the mind. It's a verb. He hung his body on what God had said. That's what Abraham did. And it, that faithing action, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What is this saying? It's saying that, and this is the message of the gospel. It's saying, as God declares that faith in God's eyes and by the operation of God, God counts faith as righteousness. My hesitation is I want your ears to get anxious for what's about to come. For centuries, unfortunately, the church has equated ethical or moral performance with righteousness. God's word declares the greatest ethical giant living or ever to have lived, he says, of God's word says of that giant, or a sinner like me, he says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And in God's accounting system, if you will, Abraham faithed God and it was accounted in accounting. The way we work it is hopefully at the end of the month, in our checkbooks, checks we have written are debits, deposits we have made are credits. And hopefully, at the end of the day, the credits outnumber the debits, and we haven't written any bad checks. In a perverted message of the church, the doctrine of perfectionism, many incorporate the thought that if our righteous works outweigh our unrighteous works, that if even by an ounce, that we qualify for eternity, if our good works outweigh our bad works. I want to tell you about God's accounting system. There are debits and credits. The credit side, there are unrighteous works and righteous works. The credit side of God's balance sheet of righteousness are acts of faith, and God puts on that credit side are acts of faith which are accounted for righteousness. What about the debit side? What about our unrighteous works? Amazing grace. Amazing grace of Christ, which is the gospel, on God's accounting sheet for His children who are faithing God, the debit side is blank because all of our unrighteous works were laid on Christ. Are you hearing? Are you hearing the gospel? No debits on our account. Christ took all those debits. Unrighteous works. In essence, sin. All upon Himself. As I was receiving this message, I don't do this very often because these messages are generally all extemporaneous, but I wrote this this last week. It says, most of the church looks or would have us look at the cross or at Calvary as if when we see what Christ suffered, it would somehow motivate us to keep from doing unrighteous deeds, which gets us no credit from God. You know, not only the do-do church, but the don't-do church, that gets us no credit with God. The don't-do deeds gets us no credit with God. That's how most of the church looks at Calvary. Rather than looking at the cross and Christ upon it as the place where God laid and Christ took upon Himself all our unrighteous deeds, and took away all that caused God to be against us, and now God adds to our righteous credits acts of faith. Now, we're going to come back and continue in the third chapter. But I want this morning to jump ahead to the fifth chapter. Actually, I want to go to a piece in the fourth chapter. Look, what is faith? Faith is acting on the promises of God. And in the 28th verse of the fourth chapter, Paul tells his brothers, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And we have heard the promise and or multiplied promises of God, particularly in the gospel, and we have found any one of them and said, this is my promise. This is God's promise to me, and in spite of any circumstance that I may be in, God's word is more real, and therefore his promise more real than anything that I see, and I'm grabbing hold of it and acting on its truth. And Paul jumps forward in the fifth chapter and he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I work in inside a hotel, and there's a young man in the hotel who, I don't know if it's in his enthusiasm to hear me speak or if he's just kidding, but he always says to me, Don, what's the good word today? And you know, I said, it's coming, Emery, it's coming. And a short time later, he says, Don, I need a word. And it's kind of a little game. And finally, I went to him and I said, you understand anything about accounting? And he said, a little bit. And I said, you understand debits and credits? He said, yeah. And I said, there's no debits on your account. He says, you mean I have no debts? I said, that's it. That's what I mean. And he says, wow. That's good news. And I said, no, Emery, that's the gospel. In the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, because he paid, he took upon himself all our debts, all our unrighteous deeds, and he has made us free. That doesn't mean, you know, those unrighteous deeds of 10 years ago or 5 years ago or yesterday. It doesn't mean the unrighteous deeds we'll do today. It's not limited to those or the unrighteous deeds today or the unrighteous deeds that we will commit tomorrow or as long as we exist in this fleshly body. It means all. And he's made us free. And he says, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Works of the law. Works. Oh yeah, I know you're saved by faith, but now show me your works. I've covered that. I'm not going to go over that foolish logic presented in that which is called the Epistle of James. I'm not going there. I'm staying on what God has done. And Paul continues on and he presents the fallacy of this, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works, as though we could perform any works except those of unrighteousness. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, type of works of the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Let's bring it to some context. If ye be circumcised, works of the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is, who looks to his performance, that he is a debtor to the whole law. He says in the 4th verse, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Whosoever of you are justified by your works. Whosoever of you who would look to yourself and listen to the obsceneness of it, who would present your performance to God as though it qualified you for heaven. What qualifies you for heaven is a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all the faithing ones, in those God in looking at us sees no unrighteous works but only his righteousness, which he equates with our faith, and even that is a gift from God. But he says, Christ has become of no effect to you. You still got unrighteous deeds on your ledger. And what's that condition? You are fallen from grace. From the unmerited favor of God. We started this series saying grace, and we're going to teach on grace out of the book of Galatians, and grace and Galatians and God. I present unto you that which I also received, that in the accounting of God, his children have been set free from debt. They have no unrighteous works on the accounting sheet and credits, and only credits, not of righteous deeds, but credits of faith which God counts as righteousness. That's the gospel. That's the grace of Christ. And that's the God school for this morning.